but you know, you can get the Yaesu, the you know, the what is it, the C4FM, or of course D-Star, but so nothing from them as of now. I thought that was curious. That's my only comment. Back to you, Dick.
Hello. Okay, I heard a double that time. KE2EJ was one, and who was the other person that just gave us a double?
Hi, everybody. Mark N2FLF. I just wanted to say a quick comment. Look up RCA for that radio, that VHC and stuff. They're available also. And that's it. N2FLF clear. Dick?
Okay. And I've also heard tell someone expressing an opinion that if you had a lower power radio with EMR capability and you want to add an afterburner amplifier after it, it may not be that easy. I have the impression that it uses a kind of time domain multiple access, which suggests that the final amplifier has to be switching back and forth between the transmit and receive mode in a rather rapid manner. I've heard that opinion expressed, and that, among other things, Eric is now going to straighten us out, because he's the first person that we know of that bought a, I think he purchased for Limark, a DMR repeater, and after we brought it back down from Dayton, Ohio, within hours it was on the air. I don't know why he took so long. I'm having some fun with him. KE2EJ, with anything you want to tell us, K2RIW and TechNet, you got it, Eric.
Yeah, K2RIW, K2EJ. I was going to say a couple things now. As far as like an amplifier on an HT, in the process of designing one. Packet is 28 milliseconds long, so that means each time you transmit, it's 28 milliseconds. Yeah, switching rather rapidly between receive and transmit. And there actually is a little bit of a delay time, which you actually can control in the radio, how long it takes to that edge to come up. So building a circuit which is actually going to detect the RF, you want to be able to turn your transistors on really fast, because, I mean, ultimately the way to do it would be to get a clock signal out of the radio, but that's not happening. So, you know, the best thing you can do is try and slice that RF off, you know, rectify it, stick it in a split trigger of some form, get the rise time going really fast, and turn the juice to your transistors, or turn the bias to your transistors. However you want to do it. And of course, you need some pin diodes to bypass the whole thing so you can get the stuff coming back the other direction. K2RIW, what were you going to ask? Can't forget. K2RIW.
You've already given us some rather interesting information. So it's in packets of something like 28 milliseconds long. I have the impression in 28 millisecond time frame, you're going between the transmit mode and the receive mode. And, electromechanical relays cannot be moved that fast, reliably, so it's going to have to be pin diodes or something like that, and circuits that will take high power pin diodes are a little bit tricky. In other words, if you decided you wanted to run, let me pick a number, 100 or 200 watts on an amplifier for this service, and you set up pin diodes such that they're going to give the receiver low noise front end sufficient isolation so that the high power doesn't damage it, and then it's going to have low insertion loss in the receive mode, low insertion loss in the transmit mode, all done by pin diodes with that speed. That's a relatively tall order. You don't go to Radio Shack to buy those particular parts. It's a bit more sophisticated than that. So an afterburner, it's got to be a bit sophisticated. It's not your normal, let me think, what's the brand name I've got here on my particular large power, Mirage. You can't just pick up a Mirage amplifier and throw it into that particular service without adding some rather sophisticated other circuitry. That's one of the things that was starting to clear up. And when it comes to brand names, the real question that Rich was asking, Eric, is that does he have to invest a whole lot of money to get a DMR-capable radio? Looks like it's an almost proprietary mode of operation by Motorola, and a couple of other companies apparently have been licensed by Motorola to do this, but I get the impression they're a little bit pricey. So nowadays with Ruxon, I can buy a handy talkie for some ridiculously cheap price, like $30, $40. I suspect that nothing even close to that with DMR. KE2EJ for any further info. K2RIW the TechNet. Go ahead, Eric.
K2RIW to K2EJ. Well, if you're going to buy something from Motorola, you're buying your name. Actually, you're buying it from the one division of Motorola that's still owned and operated in the United States, but most of that's Motorola name. Oh, it's owned by one of the largest Chinese computer manufacturers, and they're about to sell it again. Actually, Motorola Solutions, as you know, like your Symbol Technology, it's that one arm of Motorola that really still exists. But you're going to pay top dollar for that, made in Malaysia, or Thailand, take your pick. There are other solutions, though. Let me get into it a little bit preliminary drop first. There is something, people kind of mistake the concept of Motorola Turbo and CMR. CMR is actually a committee, like MPEG and a few others, whereas if there's a specification that's spelled out in the standard. DMR actually has a standard that's supposed to be operated across various different manufacturers so that it's interoperable. Motorola Turbo, which is their particular flavor of DMR, they follow the DMR rules. They have a little more sophistication than the broad scope of the way people implement DMR across the board. But because Motorola was one of the major implementers of it, was done as a consortium, even though Motorola is the lead. Their radios do a bunch of interesting things because they're used for public service, police departments. It's not invented for the commercial world, the military and the policing world, for example. Their radios, all these radios have a panic button on them. When you hit the panic button, if you're a police officer, actually the base station can say, hey, we're not getting a transmission from this guy anymore. They can actually turn his microphone on, listen to what's going on. Motorola radios, if I don't like you, I can make your radio never transmit ever again. Things like that. But that's not necessarily implemented by some of the other manufacturers. Let me do the job again. Many of these things are within the DMR specification as to how the protocol is supposed to be implemented. The method of transmission, by the way, is similar between D-Star, Yaesu C4FM, DMR, P25. Another standard called Tetra. There's a couple others. It's basically, you can think of it as QPSK, but it's a little bit more than that. The implementation from the different manufacturers is not complete. The basic form of DMR, the ID, the way the talk groups are laid out, which are really nothing more than packet labels, simply IP. The fact that a packet is 27 milliseconds really is the fact of how much data you can send, utilizing how much bandwidth, the symbols that you're capable of 4 bits to come out of the radio. So, really, two sets of symbols to get your basic words. There's also some external error correction and a few other things that go on, which actually allows you to get the data rate to the audio the way Motorola chooses to do it, as opposed to some of the other manufacturers. Because commercially, they're only allowed 12.5 kilohertz worth of bandwidth, which means, 2.5 kilohertz worth of deviation instead of the 5 that was always used. But they decided they wanted 2 channels, so that's why they went to TDMA. So they're only capable of 6 kilobits worth of audio in the end. So the codec which they use really sounds really crap, especially someone that doesn't hear well. Other people don't have a problem with it, I do. But, let me not drop again. What Yaesu and a few other folks do is they actually double the stream rate to the audio, and the AMBP2 codec doesn't sound so bad. It actually sounds fairly decent when you run 12.5 kilobits worth of audio. That's some of the downsides of it. But it's basically a little computer in your hand that's connected to a an RF device, which actually takes this stuff, makes INQ, takes it, breaks it down.
And it's just like what you plug into the back of your computer, Ethernet. It's actually packetized data.
Each packet has a header which says what it is, and what it's used for, and what the data is that's contained behind it. Simply like, if you were sending audio UDP over your Ethernet port. It's not exactly the same, but the concept is similar. So really you go from RF to this computer data packet, and you work from there. You know, other things, you know, it, again, being a commercial system, it's intended for their end users, not necessarily the hand. The hand decided that they were going to operate it within a certain methodology, and across the board, everybody agreed, and it worked out to be quite well. There are other manufacturers like TYT, Yaesu, Vertex actually uses the 12.5 kilohertz worth of audio as opposed to the 6, so they're really only using one, what they call one-time slot, but it's continuous, it's not flipping on and off, but yet it still conforms to the DMI standard, so lots of stuff can go on here, and the way the hams use it is one particular way, although there's lots of good things you can do with it, but it is a technology that's like over 10 years old already, and we have codecs that are far superior today, that using the same amount of space, you know, bandwidth. So,
that's good. Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
Your timing was very good, Eric. We only lost about 3 seconds at the end. I didn't say anything valuable around 3 seconds. You thought that Motorola has a division on the East Coast called Motorola Symbol. Not anymore. Motorola bought the Symbol company in Holtzville about 4 or 5 years ago. And this year, they sold that division to the Zebra company, or at least the RFID portion of Symbol was sold to the Zebra company, which is also an RFID company. So to my knowledge, the big Motorola sign that used to be on the Symbol company out at exit 62 no longer is there. So that's not Motorola anymore. It did say 12.5 kilobits is the audio with this Moto Turbo that sounds pretty good. It also said only 6kc of deviation or something like that in order to try to squeeze 2.
Let me correct you.
Yeah, go ahead. I was about to ask you, how wide do you get when you get 12.5 kilobits? But I guess it's about to go through a compression scheme. Is that true, Eric? Go ahead.
Okay, the Motorola audio stream is only 6.5 kilobits, okay? How you get there is this codec called, or they call it a vocoder, AMBE2. Basically, it's a phoneme-based compression. They essentially delete what they think you don't need to hear and only transmit the phoneme of the sound. Okay? And they actually filter out the high frequency and use that to add the sibilance back in. But someone with, like me, who has a problem hearing up the high end, normally the harmonic construction of a sound is what helps me, gives me intelligibility in speech. Well, with this codec running it, the company that decides to run it at 12.5 kilobits instead of 6, they're actually
digital to analog.
12.5 at 50 bits per second, downconverted. Stuff that you don't need thrown out, the phoneme information or the phoneme sounds are going to be back.
Yes, I'm getting some of that information reliability, because we've heard some stories of lack of reliability of some of the radios that have been issued in the beginning of this story in the last month or so. So do you have a recommendation? We're not going to hold you to it, but if you were writing the check, what brand of radio would you like to buy for this DMR service, and roughly how?
I think you like the radio. I can't remember the name of a few others. The prices for the cheap, in my personal opinion, now that I'm wide English, worldwide North America, English, Spanish, a couple of basic types of chocolate, because this thing can really only handle two simultaneous conversations. Same time, wherever, where with the IRLP, you get HYW,
made for a computer, and I was just curious if Eric knew about it.
Definitely, and I'll give him a good response. First of all, Velcode is the codec AMB2 is a proprietary
transmitter and put up a series antenna. If you're using this echo link like characteristic, those are my words, where you decide you want to talk to your person, your personal friend in Vancouver, so you put in the right code number for DMR, and you now call your friend in Vancouver, and if your friend in Vancouver is there and answers you, you've got a nice conversation for a while. However, if some other person in Vancouver wants to use the local DMR repeater, I have the impression that whoever transmits first captures the priority of the machine, and then any other transmissions after that, during the first transmission, are locked out. There is no jamming sound, so to speak. So he's a little bit concerned about would he be able to hold this brief conversation with his friend in Vancouver. Is there the equivalent of a calling frequency where then you move off to another frequency by which you have a rag chew with your friend in Vancouver while you're on Long Island? Any guesses as to how all that can be implemented, Eric? KE2EJ, K2RIW.
K2RIW, K2EJ. I began to explain that a little bit earlier in terms of that there's this thing called time slot. Because we're doing a time division multiplex, it's something called time slot 1, time slot 2. The way the TMR, Motorola Amateur Radio Club, organizes is that time slot 1 is where you get the interconnected stuff, meaning that my repeater here gets connected to somebody's C bridge, which gets connected to the C bridge that actually feeds the repeater in Vancouver. Okay? Only one person on each time slot has the air for that 28 milliseconds. Once your 28 milliseconds is up, it can go to somebody else for another 28 milliseconds on another talk group or another packet ID number. So, yeah, you can be on two different talk groups. You may actually have to wait until your transmitter goes into transmit because it'll go channel busy. If somebody else got it before you, as soon as they finish talking, then you get your chance. So yeah, you could be waiting, but you'll still have the connectivity if you're on two different talk groups. Understand that they only break it up into specific talk groups like North America English, Worldwide English. So that's two talk groups right there. You've made an arrangement to talk to your friend in Vancouver, so you're going to use North America English, and you're going to have to share that with the rest of the country. So, you know, how long do you talk before somebody else says, hey, give me my chance? So, you know, you run into that issue. K2RIW, K310.
What would worry me a little bit, Eric, is that if the mode of transmission now that I'm talking is North American English, and it covers all of North America, and I've got to share that one single channel with all of those people, the chances of me taking my friend in Vancouver, who I haven't talked to for a month, and giving him enough information to bring him up to speed as to what I'm doing, what I'm gathering, the fact that I'm tempted to take a trip out there to visit him for a while, sounds to me like my conversations are going to have to be very brief. If I happen to choose a popular hour, like the rush hour on the East Coast or the rush hour on the West Coast or a particular holiday weekend, I think for me to have a conversation of more than a few seconds with my buddy in Vancouver sounds difficult. I mean, you and I, when we talk to each other sometimes late at night, we ride you back and forth for 45 minutes. I suspect that in this mode of operation, that would be essentially impossible. KE2EJ, K2LAW.
K2RIW, K2EJ. Yes and no. Look, on IRLP, I mean, you're limited to, 4 minutes maximum on each shot. But yet you can, you know, just dial, I can dial up 9100 and just be at the repeater in Vancouver. I know my friend's on there every now and then. My chances are actually being able to raise them is pretty good. We're not at that point yet with DMR. It's not that densely populated. There are quite a number of time slot channels that are available. Just because you brought your particular thing up on, say, North America, you probably had already called your friend in Vancouver on the phone and said, hey, you know, meet me there, I'll be there in 10 minutes. It's a different world, it's a different philosophy, it's a kind of thinking, you know. It's actually, the protocol has the ability to dial up a user directly, but when you do that, you light up every repeater in creation around the world, and they don't like that.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Rich. We better start scheduling. Bernie, if you can possibly be the beginning of the TechNet so we can start getting any further information. Anyone have any further questions or comments on the subject of DMR, repeater-like ham radio, give me a call at us right now, K2REW in the TechNet. Okay, Rich, is there anyone else with a question or a comment on this subject?
Three Delta Radio Mike.
Okay, we missed the prefix, but we did get Delta Radio Mike. And you're right after Rich, N2EO. N2EO, go ahead, K2REW.
Is it Rich or West? I know I have a contact number and was on with Howie and K1 in the early days of Vancouver Motor Turbo. I'm told I can get that contact number on C.org, or is it C? And they are C.org. That's all I want to know. Open it back to net.
I got an answer for that one, Eric.
The old number, you'll probably get people yelling at you. Yeah, you go to DMR Mod. There's a little spot there on the website where you put in your call sign, they check you out, and they give you a number if they like it.
Did you say Mark? DMR Mark?
Now, if you're unsure of the spelling, just go to Google and type DMR, M-A-R-C, that's the Motorola Amateur Radio Club, and it'll point you to the right place.
Ah, Jerry, thank you. Back to Ned and to him.
The next person who signed in was Blank Delta Radio Mike. Give us the full prefix and your name, and proceed with your question or comment, sir. I'm K2REW. My name is Dick.
Very good evening there, Dick. I love to listen to your net every week, and I'm always so busy that I never get a chance to check in. But just a couple of my own personal comments. I am on Echo Link as I am right now. I'm also on D-Star and DMR. And just recently, and I picked up a TYT 380. I'm quite happy with it. You can just Google the places online. There's quite a number of them, but they shipped it right to the door, so I'm quite happy with that. I think another little obstacle with DMR is if you have someone in the area that has an already set program, what they call a code plug, It will really speed things up. And that's all the frequencies and all the talk groups are all included in that code plug. And you just download it into your radio and your radio is already programmed. So that's a big help. That's through that Motorola Amateur Radio Club network that you just mentioned. As far as just comparing them all, I'll tell you the truth. Anyone listening there, I'll never get rid of Echo Link. Echo Link is so versatile, so simple. Anyone with an app phone can be on Echo Link. A PC doesn't cost anything. I'm on D-Star. It costs a fortune to do the same sort of thing. I say a fortune, I mean a couple hundred dollars to do this and another couple hundred dollars to do that. And Raspberry Pi and another... a little transceiver and So to do the same thing as what you can do with Echolink, it costs quite a bit more. The audio on Echolink is okay. You can customize your audio. On D-Star, of course, it's fixed. It sounds compressed. DMR, I thought, would sound a lot better than D-Star. However, in my opinion, it doesn't. It is compressed, quite compressed. And what my beef is with DMR is if someone gets on with a radio, there's quite a number of people out with them not adjusted properly. There seems to be a lacking of an ALC or an automatic gain control on the volume. So you'll be listening to someone who has really good audio, and then they'll pass it back to someone else, and the audio level is about 4 to 5 times higher. It blasts you off your chair. So, and of course, the other thing is linking. You think of the repeater as a scanner. One might be set to one channel, and the other one is kind of scanning the other channel. So it's not as flexible. It's meant mainly as a design, mainly as a commercial application, and it works very well. But it was never designed to do what the amateurs are doing with DMR today. With the amount of network, all the top groups and everything else, it's really at its capacity, I think. So just a few little pointers there, Dick. I love the show. That's VA3DRM, and it's David in Hamilton.
Very fine, David. I think it's a VA3 Delta Radio Mike. When you first signed in, we completely missed the prefix. The whole system turns on kind of slowly. I thank you for that information, David. Anyone else want to make any further comments on what David just said? Give me your call letters right now. K2RIW in the TechNet.
So we have a tech question for David.
You got it, Rich.
Yeah, I think it's Victor Alpha 3DRM. Correct me if I'm wrong, but David, what you bought from was that a mobile or a portable that you're happy with? And about how much was it? Because I'm looking for a mobile. I'd love to have the Motorola, but it's not my price range, David.
No, I think they're still coming out with mobiles. I'm not sure. There are mobiles out there. I think they're about $299. But I paid $150, and that to the door. And that's a TYT380. TYT MD380. I'll get it right. Yeah, it's a portable. And the other questions were, it would be kind of hard to have a linear amp on the one transmitter. On the repeater, I don't think it would matter too much because if you're filling the two time slots, it's pretty much transmitting all the time. But the single time slot is at that 28 seconds roughly, and it's a pulse transmission. So, but. Kinect Systems also has mobiles out. You may want to check them, and I think they're pretty good as well. But the one thing I have noticed about the mode of operation, I can get into, in this area, I'm not far from Toronto, I can hit the Toronto repeater next to the CN Tower. It's up halfway, let's say halfway up the CN Tower, roughly. It's not exactly where it is, but it's next to the building next to it. I can hit that from about 50 miles away using high power in the flexible antenna. So the mode is actually kind of interesting. It seems to give a little better coverage. Of course, you're either in or you're out being digital, but you're either making it or you're not. But I seem to notice a little bit better coverage on than DMR, but using a portable. But yeah, if you're interested in a mobile, check Kinect Systems out. And there's a site also, I think it's in Texas and that. I think they ship mobiles up from them as well. There's a few Chinese radios they have as well. Go ahead.
very much, David. I will check. Right now the computers are down because I'm having construction work in the house and that of that room. But thank you very much. I will definitely check it out. Think back to that and to Leo one time. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Eric, and everybody else.
Yeah, David, one further question I have for you. You have reason to believe that it's got a rather favorable range, even though it's digital. Now, in the case of analog ham radio FM repeater service, as I start getting near the limit of range, and I'm driving alongside of trees, I get picket fencing. And the picket fencing means that my voice is dropping in and dropping out as my mobile vehicle moves along. But because of the redundancy in human speech, we normally can put the message back together and understand what the person is saying. In the case of a DMR radio, where it's in, if I understand correctly, packets of 28 milliseconds each, and if that's combined with picket fencing, I wonder if you have experienced that kind of operation with DMR. What does it sound like? I'm a little worried that each of the packets don't have enough Viterbi type forward error correcting code, so that if some of the packets with the picket fencing become corrupted, I suspect the audio you get back out is going to have some serious gaps or some kinds of distortion. That was a guess on my part. So I wonder if you've experienced anything like that so far, David. Victor Alpha 3, Delta Radio Mike in Ontario, K2RIW in the TechNet on Long Island, New York.
Yeah, okay, I think there's another station in there. Just quickly, yeah, I have experienced it. I noticed on D-Star, there's a lot more, if you're in a bad area, there's a lot more garbly, packet loss. So if you're in a bad area, it hangs on D-Star and you get a lot more broken up signal sort of thing. On DMR, it's designed more for the commercial market where you're kind of in or you're out. So you get some artifacts here and there, a little bit of packet loss, but it's not as bad as D-Star that way. The threshold seems to be set tighter, so either you're in or you're out, and it seems to be a little bit more play for packet loss built in as opposed to the other D-Star mode there. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I just heard Eric say something. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, there's a difference between D-Star and DMR. D-Star is AMB, which is first generation, and D-Star is AMB, DMR is AMB 2, which is all for the same vehicle. Just so that you get a sense of what it sounds like, when you get packet loss, and you get it. If you've ever heard a song where they use a device called Auto-Tune, okay, as the packet gets dropped, whatever that last note was, you skip a packet and all of a sudden jump to the new note, so to speak. So if you've heard, like, Swing Hood song with it, it sounds a little artificial at first. It's kind of like that a little bit. But, there is a cliff effect that at some point the error correction can't deal with it at all. There is error correction, but it is not as intense or as deep as we do in digital broadcasting. There's some, but you've got to consider that it actually sort of is really comparable in terms of range to analog, but because of the cliff effect, until you reach the cliff effect, it's an apparent improvement over the analog world, but really the range is similar.
Yeah, the reason I discuss this is because I've got a gut feel for what goes on with what's called multipath. Whenever you transmit a radio signal out of an antenna, it hits every single object in your environment. You could say it goes to every cubic centimeter of this universe. So when you're talking to a repeater, the main path signal, the direct path between your mobile antenna and that repeater is the one that you care about. But there's going to be 1,000 other paths running simultaneously, reflecting off buildings, reflecting off water towers, reflecting off the ground. Atmospheric refraction, all kinds of stuff going on. So as your vehicle moves, those individual paths give you individual voltage vectors, literally. You just add up the voltage of each one of those paths as it comes to the receiving antenna, and you add up all those voltages in a vector manner. In other words, you consider their amplitudes and their phases, and a lot of that is in motion, changing in phase, changing in amplitude as your vehicle moves. So all real radio paths from a moving vehicle is really a bunch of picket fences of signal amplitude versus time. As long as the bottom of those picket fences is above threshold of that receiver, and if it's an FM discriminator type system, you never even know all of that drastic amplitude wiggles are taking place. But as you get to the condition where the bottoms of those valleys that are happening in many cases many times per second, as they go below threshold of the receiver system, so there's got to be dropout. So the DMR's got an advantage there, I think you're about to say, Eric, because the individual packets get through. You might drop a packet, and then you go to the next one, and therefore there's just a missing syllable of the human voice. Is that approximately what I would hear? KE2EJ, K2LAW.
Now, here's the cool thing about it. You remember the discussions about making digital television better. When you transmit on DMR, okay, and you're transmitting through a repeater, it actually sends out a little burst of the signal and says, I'm here, send me a sync signal. So that way, because this is time division multiplex, somebody has to direct me as to when to transmit. So, we've now locked up an oscillator that's clocking with the thing in the repeater. So we actually stand a better chance of surviving some of nature's foibles, so to speak.
Okay, that sounds good. So there's a high flywheel-like oscillator established essentially on both ends, so that as far as the timing of the demodulation is concerned, there's a degree of synchronization, even though the amplitude is jumping in and above and below threshold. And I think you're saying that these timings of demodulation, of the trellis demodulation of digital television, you and I have been discussing whether or not we can establish a high Q local timing oscillator so that the system doesn't have to keep reacquiring for digital television every time you blow drop below threshold. Is there a relationship here, Eric? KE2EJ, K2LAW?
At a very rudimentary level. Now, don't forget, they make these things for communication as cheap as possible. They don't want to put a heck of a lot of effort into it. But what's necessary after it, the fact that you've got them synchronized as to when you're allowed to transmit, which also means knowing that you can receive at various time, you know, points in this time, because don't forget, we're clocking off the time slots, which are fixed in duration, but they occur consecutively, so we can take advantage of that. So we'll get a garbled packet, but we'll know that that's a garbled packet. You know, there's a little checksum at the end of things. We can say, we're going to reject this one because it's wrong. So what we simply do is we hold on to the last value that we have until we update it with a new value. That's why you get that funny, that sound out of it when all of a sudden there's fresh data.
That checksum at the end of the packet, is that something like a CRC, a cyclic redundancy code, by which you look at all the bits of that packet, come up with a cyclic redundancy code, and if the receiver doesn't have the exact same cyclic redundancy code, he says, aha, that's corrupted, and we're going to drop that packet. Is there any attempt to re-establish that packet by forward error correcting procedure? Is there any Viterbi forward error correcting procedure in there, Eric? KE2EJ, K2RAW?
K2RAW, K2EJ. I don't remember whether it's 2/3 or 5/8, but it actually is FEC, but it's actually small in the speed point. Because the protocol does actually allow for lossless data to be passed, for example, like if you're a police car, to have your police laptop connected to something, it's connected to your DMR radio, which is getting an Ethernet connection through the DMR back to headquarters. And that has to be lossless. So that's ARQ. That says, oh, I didn't get the right number, you better send it to me again. But as far as voice is concerned, we do a very light FEC, and that's it. Because the more heavy we make that, the more time we take up, the less speed in terms of the speech stream that we can stick back into the decoder. So, you know, instead of having 6.25 kilobits, we're down to 4 kilobits or 3 kilobits. It's going to make the audio sound even worse.
Now, here's a question for you, Eric. You might not know, but maybe you can make a guess. DMR, I get the impression, is being used rather heavily by United States law enforcement agencies. Make a rough guess. Of all the police departments or law enforcement agencies I've got in the United States right now, are as many as half of them using DMR radio procedures? KE2EJ, K2RAW?
Now, I'll tell you this, I'm the wrong person.
Yeah, it's kind of in the broadcast business, not in the commercial two-way business, so.
My guess is, you know, it's relatively new. Governments tend not to like to spend large chunks of money all at once, which you would do if you were changing from analog FM to DMR, though the nice thing about DMR is it can be operated in thicket mode, which means you can do both analog and DMR, which all the radios do, and the repeatable do, so that way you can make the transition from analog to digital less painful for you as the end user, but I'm really the wrong person to ask, but I do know that it is actually derived off of a European standard, which has been in place for quite some time. So I'm not all that up on the history because I've only just delved into it recently and did as much reading as I possibly could. K2RIW, KJJ.
If I take a time frame of, let me pick a number, 20 years ago, and you take the average guy owning a scanner, he loved to listen to all of the local police departments and fire departments on his scanner, because what was being transmitted is open FM analog audio, which was easy to hear. For a bunch of reasons, I can see how law enforcement people would like to digitize their audio primarily for encryption reasons. They would like casual listeners to no longer be able to hear that audio. As such, I'd like to believe a significant number of police departments have gone over to digital systems. If they've gone over to a digital system, is there a fairly high probability it is DMR-like, or to your knowledge, was there another digital system before DMR that they could have chosen, let's say, 5 or 10 years ago? I know it's a bunch of guesses, and we're not going to hold you to this, but what you're thinking, Cap, on to make a guess on this one, Eric? KE2EJ, KQRAW?
Enter the beauty of the commercial world and words like interoperability. Actually, there's something called P25, which is the 4G amount. These different methods of radio are trademarked by the various different manufacturers and are their flavor of digital. So there's a group called P25 or the P25 project. I forget who's in it. It's a large group. Harris and Johnson and this one and that one all make P25 radios. The Japanese make P25 radios. There's another version called Tundra. There's another version called Moto Turbo, which is pretty much DMR, but slightly a little bit different than is DMR. And there's a couple of others. So, you know, there's no one standard. And, you know, magic words like interoperability and stuff like that says analog.
Hey, you've hit a couple of magic words there, Eric. After the 9/11 incident, it became overly obvious that for the individual first responders at the 9/11 incident, they really couldn't talk to each other. If police force number one wanted to talk to police force number two, wanted to talk to fire station number three, and he wanted to talk to fire station number four, so to speak, you would call back to your dispatcher, who would get on the telephone, if it was working, and call up that other service. And there have been various report cards issued for major metropolitan areas as to whether or not there really is interoperability. Lots of people have said, yeah, we realize we've got a great big gap in this particular issue, that various first responders on the scene have talked to each other by shouting in the air and giving verbal commands, and the radio system doesn't serve them in that purpose. So these report cards have given very poor report cards. Lots of people have promised that we're going to correct this. What I'm hearing doesn't sound like a hell of a lot of correction has taken place. You talk to a typical policeman or a fireman or a person who's heading that radio equipment, the last thing he wants is for somebody to flip his handheld radio to some other channel to talk to some other service, and he forgets to flip it back, and you can't talk to him anymore. Everybody's so afraid of that that there really is not very much interoperability, is my belief, even though there's a huge need for it. Correct me on that, Eric. KE2EJ, K2RAW, the deck man.
No, again, I'm going to tell you, I'm the wrong person to talk to about that. I mean, I have my own ideas. I know, kind of, a little bit from what I hear from people who actually work in that industry. So, you know, everybody wants their system to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. And whomever your salesman happens to be, from whomever company you happen to like, that you've managed to get qualified to even put a bid on a government contract, and hint, maybe even tell them what the number should come out to be, that leaves some problems there. But the one thing I will say is they all do go analog, and as far as I know, all the various different departments have assigned per state, per county, various different frequencies where there is disability to be able to interoperate between departments. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think I am. But there are other people who are much more knowledgeable about it than I am. K2RIW, K2J.
Andy, CCL is pretty knowledgeable. WJ2B.
WJ2B, please repeat that message and give it to us a little bit slower. Over to you.
CCL about that issue. And how the you know, the different trunking systems work in that, but you know, mostly the police and fire, they've gone, you know, from dedicated VHF or UHF frequencies over to a trunk system where they share frequencies and use talk groups, but it's not like DMR though. It's not digital unless they're using APCO P25. Then it's partially analog, partially digital. But Andy is a good resource. If he's, I don't know if he's listening out there. So BJ2.
I thank you, Joe. And Hank, and I think there was another person too. Right after Hank, we'll pick up that other person. You've got it, Hank.
Just know of on the airports, what they're doing is, I believe it's P25 for both fire and basically police. They call it something else. But if the fire and the police want to talk with each other and need to be able to talk also with the airport authority, in other words, either ground control or the tower, they actually have a button that only lasts for 3 minutes each time you push it that allows them to get to an analog frequency that is mutually agreed upon.
Yeah, thank you, Hank. And
WV2U.
WV2U, we'll pick you up in a second. Hank, give a look for an email that I mailed you a couple days ago. Okay, WV2U, go right ahead, sir. Start off with your name, because I'm so forgetful. K2RIW in the TechNet.
S87DAW Mobile in southeastern Florida. Just want to let you know that I don't know a whole lot about what you guys are talking about, but I'm having a good time listening to you. K87DAW.
I thank you, sir.
Dick, that station I was trying to get in is on Echolink, so just give a little time. B2U.
Okay, I think it's Whiskey Victor 2 Uniform. If so, that's Paul. We'll give you some time and go right ahead with your comment or question, Paul. WV2U, K2RIW, and the TechNet.
Talk a whole lot on here. 73 still.
that you're enjoying it, sir. One more call to WV2U. That's Paul who checked in earlier. Whiskey Victor 2 Uniform, who tried to check in. K2LAW in the group. We're listening for you, Paul. Go right ahead.
K2RIW, this is WV2U. I'm just wondering if anyone on the net knows where the DMR repeater will be located.
Very fine, Paul. To my knowledge, it is already at least temporarily located. Eric's going to bring us up to speed on that. And if I know him, he's put it in one spot. Maybe he's going to put it in a better spot later. KE2EJ, where's the DMR radio located now? K2LAW in the tech net.
It's on a nice place, on a nice high tower. Sits on the Nassau-Suffolk border in that neighborhood.
Okay, so we know approximately where it's located, on the Nassau-Suffolk border, on a nice high location. Therefore, you got some idea of where you could be located with your radio, and you should have good coverage. And if I know you, Eric, it probably has better than 0.1 microvolts of threshold sensitivity on your service monitor. Am I in approximately the right ballpark, Eric? K2EJ, K2RIW.
No, actually, the old rules don't really apply. You actually make the receiver somewhat deaf to ignore the background noise of that frequency. Stuff looks like impulse noise, so it's nice to know the difference. So you want there to be a little bit of signal before you start taking it apart.
Now, because this is TDMA, Time Division Multiple Access, that would suggest there is not a separate transmit frequency and receive frequency. In other words, the normal duplexing filter, where you've got a receive frequency and a transmit frequency, in the case of 2 meters, 600 kc separated, and that filter allows the single antenna to be used both for transmitting and receiving. Is there a duplexing filter on DMR? KE2EJ, K2RIW in the tech net.
Oh. Remember, I said they operate mixed mode. They can operate mixed mode and also operate analog. It'll be 5 megahertz between the transmit and receive, yeah?
Okay, so in the analog mode, on UHF frequencies, on 450, this 5 makes a difference between transmit and receive. When it's in the digital mode, is there still 5 makes of separation, or is it truly time domain multiple access, where in alternate packets you transmit and receive on one particular frequency? So is the digital mode also 5 kc separated, Eric? KE2EJ, K2RIW?
It's the same frequency. So you get a speed advantage when you do that.
Agreed. You now can make the data nice and fast, and the side lobes, the side bands of the data. Yeah, I should have realized that 28 milliseconds, oh no, wait a minute now, with radar range equation, I wouldn't have the problem of the transmitted signal going out there and coming back as an echo during the receive period. I wouldn't get into symbol distortion, so to speak, if my packets are 28 milliseconds apart. You could operate this like a radar, Eric. I can see a whole lot of reasons why you wouldn't, but as crazy as it sounds, a number of people have set up systems in the past for relatively short range, where you transmit and receive on the exact same frequency. To the human being, it looks simultaneous. What's really going on is you've got some number of microseconds of transmit, some number of microseconds of receive, and you've got them set up just right so that they're like comb lines in between each other, and therefore you can do the two separately without interference. However, as the range gets greater and greater, what's really happening now is the delay starts making the receive period and the transmit period begin to overlap. So you have a very range-limited system if you do go that way. I can see a bunch of reasons why they wouldn't. As far as the very fast switching of the high-power amplifier is concerned, it would be a very stiff requirement. KE2EJ for any further comments on this. K2RIW in the TechNet.
On the medium and short-haul single mode fiber connectivity. The only thing is that we don't respond until we've received the text, then we respond and wait until has the distance changed, the gap time between the two. You know, you're talking about stuff that's going to get a bit, so nobody really cares.
Okay. We've sent our first hour and 15 minutes essentially on DMR. Looks like we're going to be doing that for a number of weeks to come. This brand new whiz-bang mode. Some people love it, some people hate it, some people not sure if they're going to like it. Some people don't know if they want to put their foot in the water yet and make the investment. It's a little bit pricey compared to pure analog rigs. So more to follow. Next person on our list was Joe, W-E-2-R-Y-Y. Go right ahead with your question or comment, Joe. We'll discuss anything except DMR. That's a joke. K-2-R-I-W in the tech net. You got a joke. Possibly Joe got called away, and we'll call him again later. Rich is the next guy on our list, WB2GXM. Hope we haven't put you to sleep with this information there, Rich. WB2GXM, K2RIW in the tech net.
Not at all, Dick. Very important information.
Not sure if you're hearing us, Rich. WB2GXM, K2RIW. In your first sentence, you suddenly dropped out in the middle of the word like a battery went dead. So we're going to stand by, or maybe you're in the process of switching the battery if you're on a handy talkie. WB2GXM, K2RIW in the TechNet. You got it, Rich.
Hey, Dick, actually, I was switching HTs. That Baofeng died on me. So everyone who owns a Baofeng, be warned. It's now on our ocean. Anyway, back to my question. Anyway, I've discovered the 73 magazine archives this year, much to my delight. I'm soaking it up like a sponge. In 1978 to 1981, they ran a series of articles on constant current distribution antenna, or CCD antenna. This antenna is supposed to have some remarkable properties, and I've been reading it with great interest. I haven't heard of the CCD antenna anywhere else except 73 magazine, and I was wondering, Dick, if you had heard about this, and if so, what are your impressions, WB2GXM?
By the way, I ran into a very similar problem to you with my Waxon, or Baofeng, my Baofeng. I was using it mobile this week. I had a battery that looked like it was fully charged, and after about 2 minutes of transmission, two separate transmissions, but I was told about 2 minutes, all of a sudden it went dead. And what I'm guessing happens is that there's a protection circuit built into the battery, there's a protection circuit built into the radio. In the beginning, as the battery slowly drained down to a certain voltage, the Waxon would start talking to you and say, low voltage, low voltage. Okay, I never hear that message, low voltage, anymore. And now it just abruptly goes dead. I am guessing that the protect circuit in the battery takes over, making sure you can't discharge the battery too much, and therefore the battery becomes an open circuit. It doesn't want to discharge the lithium ion to the point of doing damage. And so I think it is a battery problem, not a radio problem. That's a guess on my part. You and I have both experienced something similar. Let me drop. Now, I got to make sure that you and I are talking about the same antenna. Directional discontinuity ring read, DDRR, was a kind of an antenna that looked like a very large circle spaced very close to a ground plane. And this was a vertically polarized, high-frequency antenna, very low to the ground, omnidirectional radiation characteristics, DDRR. And you talked about something called a CCD. It sounds to me like it's possibly a different antenna, in which case a continuous current mode antenna. Give me a quick physical description of what the article looked like, because right now I'm not placing it. I'm making the mistake of relating it to the DDRR. Over to you, Rich. WB2GSM, K2RIW.
Dick, it's actually constant current distribution antenna. It resembles a series of series resonance circuits, capacitor alternating with length of of wire and repeat and repeat and repeat, and the entire antenna itself resembles a dipole, inverted or straight.